Hi, everyone. Welcome to the 18 Summer Show. We are your hosts, Jim
and Jamie Shields. We're here to help you bring family back.
In the last decade, we've helped thousands of families create the family life that you have always wanted.
We give you simple solutions on how you can ignite your family life and succeed in both business and at home.
And please remember, time is of the essence. You only have 18 summers to truly connect with your children.
So let us help you make the most of it. Hello, 18 Summers Tribe. We have a treat for you today. We're talking with Shani Magoski on leadership in your family, leadership for your children. She is the Leader Shift Project, and she's got a lot of wisdom to share with us today. Thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, you guys.
Good to see you again.
Likewise. I know. I loved having you on my podcast a few months back.
Yeah, it was very insightful. We appreciate being on it as well.
We learned so much from you. And as we spoke previously, everything that you said or questions you were asking us as adults were sparking me with questions to ask you in your leadership project for children and families. And so First, will you give us just real quick, how do you guide adults through a leadership? Again, can you explain that difference that you shared with us about the difference between a manager versus a leader?
Let me give you a little context first about, so the Leader Shift Project is an obvious play on the word leadership. And the shift piece to me is such an amazing umbrella term, because being an effective leader in any context in this day and age requires us to be making shifts, not just every year, but right now it could be from hour to hour of a day, right? Like shifting our mentality, shifting the way we're showing up, shifting our strategy, or shifting the way we're talking to our kids or whatever. And so to me, shift is the key to success in any leadership role. And I do define leadership very broadly, although my bread and butter is working more with corporate leaders and organizational leaders. To me, everyone is a leader if they choose to be, because leadership isn't a role. Leadership is a mindset. Leadership is how you want to impact the world on anything that you feel strongly about. And so some of the best leaders I know don't occupy corner offices. You know, they're doing leadership out in the field or in the home or whatever. And so to me, that's a really important distinction that a lot of people don't necessarily realize. And so that is the first difference between leading and managing. You know, managing actually is a role. It's a job, right? It's checking the boxes, doing the performance reviews, approving vacation, delegating, following up, having one-on-ones. It's like all the stuff that you do when you are in charge of managing other people. Leading, on the other hand, is so much of a bigger role. It might include some management responsibilities, and it doesn't have to. It's like, how do you influence others to be their best selves, to make their difference in the world, to just show up in a way that matters and in a way that makes you a role model for others. So does that answer the question?
Absolutely. And I love, if you see me looking off, I love to take notes because I knew to have my paper ready. We had a great time with you last time. So for parents, you know, relating this into the home life, thinking, okay, so be your best self, right? Yeah. And maybe also expect that others are going to be their best selves.
Right.
Showing up, you know, be prepared to show up. Know that, like, I know they have some funny memes like, oh, every night they need dinner. Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of be prepared for that role. Maybe transitioning from your work leader role to your home leader role. I'm sure that, you know, you have to make certain that you're showing up in each role, you know, being that role model in each place. Those were the things, you know, that I quickly caught on to, the difference in being a leader and a manager. A manager, it doesn't matter if you're being your best self, as long as you're telling everybody else what to do or checking the boxes, right? Or you're managing, you're not really being a role model because you're too into the task. But if you're leading, you really have your eyes on that bigger picture.
Absolutely. And, you know, and another nuance that a lot of people like when I talk about it is the difference between you have to and you get to. Like a lot of, you know, more manager responsibilities, whether it's performance reviews or making dinner, you know, I have to make dinner. Well, if we just shift the mindset to, I get to make dinner. Like, I have this beautiful family that is going to eat my cooking, right? And, you know, may or may not appreciate it, but I get to nourish them, right? And that might sound a little Pollyanna, but when you apply that to other things that you do as parents, kids pick up on that, right? That you show up with an I get to mentality as opposed to this like forced obligation mentality.
How do you get people to encompass the extra roles? Like, a lot of dads I work with, they say, I just feel like a part-time disciplinarian. They come home and that's their managerial role. Like, oh, I'm the shift manager now to discipline. And have you done this? They're crossing off the word leadership and going as a shift manager. I say, yeah, I get to help mold this person. But how do they actually revise themselves to step to that higher leadership, that step back? Is there any sort of gateways that you found?
Sure. Well, two gateways. One is vision and the second is values. So what's your vision as a parent, right? Because if you step back from the, you know, I have to discipline right now and go up to 50,000 feet and be like, you know, what's my vision as a parent? You know, what do I deeply want for my children? Then you can maybe get out of the minutiae. And the other thing is values. What are my values as a parent? What are our values as a family? And those are always the North Star. And I know you guys talk about those things too. And it's sort of how you ended up with 18 summers, right? Some of your values dictated that you make the most out of the 18 summers that you have with the kids.
Absolutely. How do you translate that? Because I'm thinking, okay, showing up as your best, being a role model, leading, you get to. Do you have any great tips on how we encourage children to get to do household contribution?
Well,
no, but just the mind. No, yeah, that's almost a trick question. But really, I'm certain that you deal with this in your role where you are encouraging people to feel encouraged about things that they don't necessarily feel encouraged about.
Yes. Okay. So, I mean, it's a great question, and I don't see it as a trick question. So there's a couple things. So there's a thought leader in, you know, sort of the organizational space about performance named Daniel Pink. And he wrote a book some years back called Drive. And he says that what truly motivates people is autonomy, mastery, and purpose. And I don't think that you have to be in the workplace for that to resonate, right? Let kids have some autonomy in how they do the task. Let them like see the greater purpose in, you know, why you're asking them to do the task as opposed to just, I'm getting it off my plate, or, you know, you're my kid, you have to take out the trash. Like, up-level it to like, what's the vision about creating responsibility, you know, that they'll be grateful for in the future, or, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, so autonomy, mastery, and purpose. So I'd say I did autonomy and purpose. So mastery, like, what will taking the trash out help them get better at in a bigger picture way, right? Not that they want to be taking out the trash as a master skill, but what is the discipline of that teach them to be a master of, for example? And just being able to take the time to explain that to kids as opposed to just barking out the orders, do this, do that, do the other thing. And what that relates to is being also a coach to your kids, right? And, you know, because there's many roles, and sometimes we have to discipline kids, right? They are still learning, brains aren't fully formed until 25 years old, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, kids respond well to being coached, which means we're asking them questions to help participate in shaping what the task looks like. For example, you know, what do you want out of this? What value, you know, what can you do to make this a little more fun if it's feeling like drudgery? So just like asking more questions instead of, again, barking those orders is a skill of coaching.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And we've heard someone recently told us, a mentor of mine that I reached out to say, gosh, I've got this one teen that's really throwing me for a loop. I feel like I have to tell them again and again, you know, not in a nagging way. But there's just things that, like, sometimes kids just don't get it the first time. And his big suggestion, just as you said, there's a lot of coaching. You know, you think, well, I have to parent, so I have to discipline, I have to guide, I have to. But if we take it into that role of like coach, so then when that changes it into, we need to encourage them.
Yeah,
we need to hold them accountable. We need to ask a lot of questions. We need to involve them. We need to encourage them, right?
Right.
So I hear you saying that and really involving them in those tasks.
Absolutely. The average person has to hear something 7 times before they remember it. And, you know, I don't know if that data is, you know, only for adults or just kids, but whatever it is, like, yeah, humans are not the best listeners. So don't feel like repeating yourself means your kid is flawed.
Yeah.
We'd be very flawed if we jumped on that.
Sorry. Yes. How would you say get your shift together?
Uh-huh.
Tell me about that.
Yeah.
And I love the shift.
I use the other word a lot, and then I get in trouble and the kids yell, language. So, but
Dad, put a dollar in the jar, the cursed word jar, right?
Dad would have a big jar. I have to work on that. So,
yeah. Well, I do my fair share of cursing myself, you know, and the, you know, help get your shift together is as much of the play on words and, you know, to make people laugh, which is kind of part of my style.
Yeah,
and
that's fun.
Because I feel like, you know, and here's another bridge between children and adults, which is all human beings learn better when there's play involved. And I, a long time ago, got frustrated with corporate trainings that were boring and pedantic and professorial. And so when it was up to me to organize trainings and workshops and development interventions, like, I had three requirements. One, it has to be fun, because if it's not fun, you know, no one's going to be their best self and, you know, want to pay attention. Two, it's got to be relevant, meaning people have to understand that what they're learning will be of value to, or benefit to them. And it's got to be easy to remember, because people have enough difficult things to remember in their lives that if you're trying to instill a new behavior or teach a new skill, like, let's make it as easy as possible for them to want to do it and to replicate it until it becomes a habit. And so, yeah, that's how I design adult learning in the workplace. And that's sort of how kids learn too, right? It's like.
Absolutely. No, I love that. Fun, relevant, and easy to remember, or easy to apply maybe too. Could be the same.
All that. Yeah.
And now, do you have any super, like, top couple of tips that you've seen? You know, we're in just unprecedented times. It's been really weird around here since about March, right? February. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I just wonder, as so many adults are going through a shift right now, that I'm certain you have many clients that have reached out to you during this shifting time. I think it's important that we remember our children are also experiencing really great shifts.
Absolutely.
They've experienced trauma from the sudden movement or the uncertainty, the instability. And now it's time for them to have these shifts. How do we help guide them? Or what do you have as, like, your super relevant top tip, few things that you're seeing right now?
Humanity and empathy and honesty and love. I mean, it's simple, but it's not easy. But that is what is carrying teams and families to the best success, is when conversations are all of those things, and adults can admit that they're scared and uncertain and anxious too, and they don't know what's coming next, and that, you know, they're to help and support and protect, and that even though nobody has the answers, that's not necessarily a bad thing, you know, because, like, there's two ways to look at things like this. It's like, oh, scary because we don't know, or adventure because we don't know, right? And again, that's a shift. Like, do you want your kids to think you're scared? Do you want your kids to be scared? Or do you want your kids to see the adventure and the opportunity in this? So shift that mindset, and kids will cue off of you. So if you show up with that energy, you know, they are more likely to follow.
That's so perfect. Leading from the top, going back to that, as you said earlier, the role model, the guide, you know, as they see you making those positive shifts. Because sometimes it's just a small tweak, right?
Absolutely. And a lot of it is, you know, I was just telling a client this yesterday, the verbal impact of what you say in any general message is only 7% of what the other person perceives. The other 93% is body language and tone of voice, et cetera. And so it's the nonverbals that account for the majority of the impact that your message makes. So, you know, you don't have to say things perfectly, parents, like, in terms of the words. What you need to focus on more is, like, how you're showing up, and is your body language awkward, or is it, you know, loving and supportive? Is your tone of voice nervous and hesitant, or is it comforting?
So powerful. And, you know, you hit on an interesting point too, which I've was mentored on years ago, more in relationships in general and business, key business relationships, it's a bad idea to put a very high level, possibly emotional, important relational thing into an email and send it or into a text. And I've heard with parents, oh, I texted this long text to my son or my daughter. And that can be, I guess, a fallback, but probably not the go-to. And unfortunately, I'm seeing that as the go-to. And exactly what you said, my mentor said in an email, he's like, don't write an email, go and talk to that person because this is pretty deep and relational. It can't express body language, it can't express tone of voice. And when you take those two things out of the way, then it's open to this odd interpretation. So where you could have been saying, Jim, Jamie, I just want to see you shift your leadership where you're helping your kids be more autonomous. And that was you delivering it to a text. I might say, what are you guys doing? You know what I mean? It could come across where we create our own, and since we don't hear it, our own tone of our own body language, like you're giving us the finger while you're saying that, where actually you would have been in person being like, hey, you know, my hands are open to help. So yep. I don't know how you feel about that or if you face that with leadership.
All the time.
Yeah. Bringing out that body language. Honestly, that's the first time I've heard that in 10 years, besides you and like my main business mentor brought that up. But it's for families. What do you think that result is to bring body language and tone of voice back in?
Right. Well, I think now is the time to really pay attention to it because for the past 6 months, we've been spending more time with each other than ever. And because people have been quarantined, hopefully they're not texting if someone's just in the next room or sitting on the chair when you're on the sofa in the same room, right? So you can start to practice and notice the impact that having a real conversation has on other people in your family versus the texting on the go type of a thing.
We try to have face-to-face on bigger issues because text, I mean, it's like you said, you're leaving out 90% of the communication almost. That's
93% of it. Yeah.
93 to be exact, right? Yeah. So it's, yeah, that's pretty debilitating for effectiveness.
It is. And so I challenge all of your listeners and watchers that, so if you haven't started to notice the improvement in communication by doing more things face-to-face out of forced from quarantine and so forth, start to notice it now and then don't slip back after this ends and life goes back to some semblance of normal and the kids are in school 5 days a week and they're at sports practice and like don't slip back into the bad habits of the texts, like pick up the phone, FaceTime, WhatsApp, video chat. I mean, there's a million tools out there. Send them a TikTok video of you saying something. Anything's better than just text.
Yeah. Deciding what during this shift period, those things that you want to keep shifted versus allowing them to shift backwards.
Yep. Absolutely.
So what would 75-year-old self say to you besides, hey, gorgeous, good going. What do you think? That's wiser, much older, still funky, rock climbing would tell you.
So funny you just said that because when you said your 75-year-old self, I was like, I'm going to still be rock climbing and doing yoga. My 75-year-old self would say, thank you for taking good enough care of me, body, that I can still do those things. Because 75 years old chronologically does not have to mean 75-year-old mind, body, spirit. And I can still be a leader at 75 with as much impact as I am at 35. Yeah, not really 35.
That was my guess.
35 and a half. I always say a half. 35 and a half.
Yeah. My birthday is next week and I turned 51 and I'm like, how is that?
I would have never guessed
never
that.
Never thought it. What day is it? Our daughter's
October 1st.
Oh.
Our daughter is 9/29, so you guys will have the same week birthday parties.
Yep. Fellow Libra.
Fellow Libra. Yep. Aww. Very cool.
Thank you so much for joining us. I hope you have a very happy birthday. Where can our listeners find out more about you and the Leadership Project?
Absolutely. Well, the website is theleadershiftproject.com. There's also the podcast, The Leadershift Show, which is on iTunes and all of that. And my email is shaney@theleadershiftproject.com. Oh, and of course, social media is all labeled with that brand. And I'm on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, not on TikTok.
Are you on TikTok?
No, I'm not. I'm in house party though. Does that count?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't even know that one.
Oh, no. All the kids are on House Party. Look it up.
Oh, yeah. Now we're going to have to get on that.
Well, thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon, Jane.
Thank you. Great to see you guys.